Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, with a message entitled, Set Free, Standing Firm. Lord, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading from Galatians chapter 5 and the first 12 verses. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Strong language. I speak to you from these verses on the theme of set free, standing firm. Set free, standing firm. And that comes from the opening verse of Galatians chapter 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Many times as we've made our way through the book of Galatians, the letter that Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, the believers in Galatia, who he had ministered among, he is speaking to them of how that they have withdrawn from Christ, how that they have heard other voices. Paul had spoken to them of being saved by the grace of God, that the grace of God sent Jesus Christ in love for this world, Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary, that we, as we trust in him, as we look to him, that we have the joy of knowing the forgiveness of sins, that we no longer have death hanging over us, and that we have the confidence of heaven as our eternal home. These believers in Galatia, others had followed after the Apostle Paul. And this was not simply in Galatia. Paul was dogged. He was hounded, followed, pursued in all of the places where he went by these who would want to add to the message that Paul gave. The basic teaching was, now, Paul, good man, but he always leaves out some key material in his message. And we're here as your friends to tell you exactly what he left out. And we're here to help you. Our desire is to help you. Paul, he turns around and he sees what these are doing, and he has strong objection. You go to Acts chapter 15 and the Jerusalem Council, And in that one chapter, there is an excellent synopsis of just how fervently Paul, Barnabas, and others stand against this aberrant doctrine that there is something we need to add to the grace of God if we are to be saved. Repeatedly, I've also stated that indeed, once we come to know Christ, we gladly and joyfully serve, but that does not make us to be saved. That is not what causes us to be saved. There is a difference between cause and consequence. Remember those two words. We are saved because of God's grace that reaches out to us and picks us up. As a consequence, we serve and we joyfully give. But our giving and our serving, that is not the cause of us having confidence of heaven and everlasting life. Paul, here, as he continues to speak to these believers, he says, Christ came into this world because back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they fell into slavery. They fell into bondage. They fell into shackles. And the whole world has been in bondage ever since that point. Christ came that the captive might be set free. Christ came in order that there might be liberty. Paul, he delighted in freedom. He looked back upon his own life before the Damascus Road of Acts chapter 9, and he realized that he himself was a captive. One day, the Jews were speaking with Jesus, and Jesus speaks about the captivity in which they are in, and the Jews, they're greatly offended. They says, we've never been slaves to anyone. Each of us, whether we be Gentiles or Jews, we are slaves of sin. Until Jesus, the freedom giver, comes and he breaks those shackles. It's wonderful to read in the account of the Gospels how that at times Jesus would come, especially the demoniac of Gadara, that demon-possessed man, and no one could keep him under control. The demons had possessed him. He was under their heel. That's the same picture of every one of us. We, though we think we're nicely dressed and we're washed and we don't live among the tombs, what a picture that is of every one of us. But Christ, sent by his heavenly Father, he came in order that freedom might be known. And Paul, he says here, as he begins chapter 5, look, friends, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. As a result of that, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Paul is saying, if Christ comes and sets you free, the shackles fall from your wrists and your ankles, and you walk out of the prison of sin, and you walk straight into the arms of these false teachers, you are becoming enslaved all over again. And the very point of Christ coming has been made null and void. It's all for nothing. You've simply exchanged one shackle for another, and each of them are under the control of the devil. For they are both discrediting the gospel, and they are both discrediting the work that Christ did upon Calvary's cross of making atonement for you and for me. Paul, as he's coming into the last third of this letter, he is really saying, all right, look, what I've said to you has consequence. There is an outworking of what I've been speaking to you. He's now saying, look, keep standing firm. This isn't just something for your heads. It isn't something just to tuck away in trivial knowledge. It is something whereby you stand upon the grace of God. You stand upon the purity of the gospel. You take a stand and you do not become subject again. You push away and you avoid those who would want to ensnare you. Paul, at the beginning of the letter, he identified himself and he reminds them again in verse 2 of exactly who is speaking to them. Paul was the one who had come and preached Christ among them. Paul, at various times in his letters, recounts the struggle, and Paul's companion, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, Luke goes to considerable pains to describe the beatings, the hardship, the shipwrecks which Paul and others endured in order to convey the gospel to these people. Was it because they were seeking to build their own empire? By no means. Paul, he simply wanted others to come into the joy and to have the delight of sins forgiven. Paul had been extended grace on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. He had been struck down, and where he thought he saw so clearly, when his physical eyes were blinded by the dazzling light, suddenly he started to see for the very first time in a spiritual sense. And having his spiritual eyes opened, then later, through the help of Ananias there in Damascus, his physical eyes were opened and joy filled his heart. He goes even immediately into the synagogue in Damascus and he starts proclaiming that this Jesus really is the Christ. And he was demonstrating from the scriptures, so much so that he had to get out of town because they wanted to kill him. Paul here, in the very same way, he's saying, look, I came to you and I preached the gospel, and I'm the one now, behold, I, Paul, say to you, listen to this, that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, there have been millions of people who have received circumcision since that time, but what Paul is speaking of here is that if you are trusting in circumcision for the salvation of your soul according to the law of Moses, then you are making the cross of Christ of no effect whatsoever. And Paul says, I testify again. He repeats it for emphasis. And this is in Scripture. Pay close attention when you see repetition. The writers of the Old Testament and New Testament, they did not have yellow highlighter markers, or they did not have bold face or underlining. When the Holy Spirit, through these human authors, was emphasizing something, what they would do, they would repeat it again. And so, as you are reading through the Bible yourself, pay close attention to repetition. Something is being emphasized through that repetition. It isn't just, well, they didn't know what else to say, and so they just said the same thing over again. Not so. Not so. There is something of great importance, and it's good for us to dig in. So he says, I testify again. Pay attention to what he is saying. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Now, the Apostle Paul knew what being under obligation was all about. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul himself said, "I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Paul knew what obligation was all about. God had laid upon Paul, having saved him, he uses him as a vessel to proclaim the gospel. And Paul says, "Woe is me if I preach not the cross, if I preach not Christ crucified." Paul was a man under obligation. Paul, he said, that was a good and a right, a proper, a healthy obligation which God had put upon him, and God was watching over his man. But Paul says, do not take upon yourself obligations which God himself does not desire you to have. That would be an unhealthy, that would be an irresponsible step to take. Paul says, I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep not just the law, but to keep every last detail of it in its entirety. And Paul said, I don't want you to be in that direction. He then says, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. How is it that we are justified? Once again, we remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, where he says, the just, the righteous man is, shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. That was Martin Luther's great discovery. The just shall live by faith. But for these ones who Paul is addressing, he is saying, you're endeavoring to be justified, to be just as if you had never sinned. You're seeking to have a right standing before God, not based upon the cross of Calvary, not based upon the plan that God has laid out. You're saying, no, Lord, we would rather have this other plan. Thank you for, you know, going to the trouble that you've gone to, but we want this other plan. We want to be justified by law. And the reason why some people want that is they want to contribute. And that is catering to our own vanity. It is catering to our own pride. It is helping us to feel we did something. We were a part of it. And we weren't just there. We did something. Actually, you did nothing. You did nothing at all. Dead in your trespasses and sins, God was the one who came along. You can have nothing to do with it. It's just like a corpse laying in a casket in a funeral home. If someone was to come along and make that corpse alive, that's what God did for you and for me when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We do not contribute to it. And for us to think, to imagine that we do, it's the devil's lie, it's the devil's trick to make the cross of Christ of no effect. Paul says, you've fallen from grace if you've imagined that you can be justified by law and you seek to go that direction. Paul says, we through the Spirit by faith, it is God's Spirit that works in us to awaken us to our need, that we might thirst, that we might hunger,
that we might look and that we might see.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is so integral.
Paul says, we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything.
In the body of Christ, there were some Gentiles who had never been circumcised.
They were as welcome into the family of God as anyone.
There were then those Jews who had been circumcised at their birth before they came to faith in Jesus Christ.
They were also as welcome in the family of God.
And Paul here, he says, as a Jew in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything.
What is important is faith. Faith working through love.
Faith working through love. Faith, that which sees that God is true. And even though His promises, even though what He has given to us, it might tarry, it might be seemingly withheld for a time, yet to continue to hold on and to believe God, to believe that He is coming back, even though there have been hundreds of years that have come and gone, yet we look gladly and eagerly for His return. Faith, Paul says, what's really important, what really counts, what really means something, is faith working through love. And Paul says, you were running well, and I hear in his voice a heartbreak. You were running well. I preached to you, and you believed. You embraced the beautiful message that I brought to you. You were doing so well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
Paul, he'd like to get his hands on those people, and he would like to help them.
This persuasion, he says, did not come from Him who calls you.
This is not from God. It's from the devil.
It's not from God.
And Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough.
Every baker knows this.
You don't need buckets of leaven to go into the dough in order for it to do its work. You need just a very small amount. But when that leaven is worked into the flour and into all of the other ingredients that get into that in order to make it rise, Paul is saying, leaven, and in the Bible, leaven is spoken of in terms of pride. And the Jews in the Old Testament, on particular days of religious significance, they were to get all of the leaven out of their houses, and they were to eat bread that was unleavened. That was an indication of humility, that they were not to be puffed up with pride. Here, Paul, he speaks of leaven, and he likens it to this doctrine, this false teaching, this aberrant doctrine. He likens it, and he says, get rid of it. Even a little bit poisons the good. Paul says in verse 10, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. Paul, he speaks with confidence of these believers. He says, I know that having heard what I have shared with you, you will lay hold of this, that the Spirit of God will impress it upon your heart, and that you will truly live, and that those who have been troubling you, that they will be set aside. And Paul, in the very last verse of this 12-verse passage, he says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. And as I started off, that's strong language, but it's just as Paul in chapter 3, verse 1, and also chapter 1, verse 6, he speaks directly because of his love for these people and for their eternal souls. I share from Galatians out of that same concern for the well-being of your eternal soul. Each and every one of us will live on for all eternity, either in paradise or in perdition, either in heaven or in hell. There is no middle ground. It is one or the other. Jesus, he spoke of separating the sheep and the goats, and by that he was speaking of those who had followed him, who had attended to his word, who trusted in him, and those who had not followed him, those who had not attended to his word, those who did not believe in him. There is going to be a divide. And you say, well, I don't like that. It's not whether you like it or not. It is what it is. And I speak to you that you might know the blessing of God, that you might come to the cross, and that you might understand that here is life, and that you might live by it, and that you might rejoice in it, and that you might see error for what it truly is. Bow with me in prayer, please. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise once again. You call us, even as you have set us free, that we might stand firm and that we might not be enslaved once again, that we might not be brought into shackles. And Lord, I pray this for each one who hears my voice, that they, having come to know you, having come to rejoice in you, that they might stand tall, standing upon your word, standing upon the simplicity of the gospel of God's grace. Lord, so many voices would call us this way and that. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and what you have accomplished for us. And may that be our joy, our rejoicing, our delight. For now and for eternity, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. For over 20 years, Jonathan Kvist has been the bass in our men's quartet and has also been a rich blessing through his solo work. We are delighted to announce a new collection of 13 songs Jonathan has especially enjoyed singing and has himself chosen for this CD called Blessed Assurance. You will enjoy hearing Jonathan sing I'd Rather Have Jesus, In the Sweet By and By, Just a Whispered Prayer, I Need Thee Every Hour. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Leave Your Heavy Burden at the Cross, Something Beautiful, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Written in Red, What a Day That Will Be, The Old Rugged Cross in both Russian and English, Someone Is Praying for You, and of course the title song, Blessed Assurance. Ask for your free copy of Blessed Assurance when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6. Or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.